Street at Today SOR.
Many of the front pages of the newspapers in Britain this morning will make difficult reading for Prime Minister Theresa May. The Daily Telegraph runs a strap across its front page saying desperate, deluded, doomed above three rather unflattering pictures of Mrs. May taken during her speech yesterday. All this as her latest Brexit proposals have been criticised by opposition parties as well as many of her own MPs. So where to from now? On the line will be the DUP's Brexit spokesman Sammy Wilson and Labour MP Hilary Benn, who also chairs the Commons Brexit Committee. And we're joined as well by Edwina Curry, former Conservative Party MP and Minister. And we'll talk later as well to Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror. To you first, Edwina Curry. How long more can Theresa May survive? It seems she won't. She may not even manage to get this vote onto the floor of the Commons next week.
Well, I think as a long-standing Conservative Party member and president of the High Peak Conservative Association, I think we all feel, oh, please, not much longer. Please, this cannot go on. It's awful. The feeling that, you know, Commons has been through all this so many times already. This is the fourth time that there's going to be a vote on this particular deal. It's probably going to be voted out with a bigger majority than before. And it's embarrassing. You know, the Tory party, Sean, is known for being an efficient vehicle of government. And this is absolutely awful. So I think we all now feel, you know, thank you, Theresa, thank you, but no thank you. The quicker the better we get a change.
And is it in some ways reminiscent of what happened when Mrs. Thatcher was dispatched? She didn't want to go.
Well, yeah, there is that. I was in the Commons at the time, and much as we all admired Margaret, we knew it was time for her to go, otherwise we would lose the next election, which is exactly the same situation here, although they're very different people. It's like trying to prise their fingertips off the cliff edge. And in the end, there has to be an element of ruthlessness about it. They have to go. They're being really an embarrassment, but also we need to get on. We need to do Brexit. We need to run the country, the rest of the country, and all the other issues that are coming up. And it can't be done while we're in this this complete paralysis.
But what about her suggestion that if this vote doesn't go through, that this may be the last chance to actually secure Brexit?
Well, that doesn't follow at all. We could have had Brexit on March the 29th. Indeed, that's what everyone was expecting, and that deadline's been put back to October 31st. Any practical government, any sensible practical government, would be preparing for us to leave on that date, as the people voted 3.5 years ago, or 3 years ago now, to leave with as smooth a transit as possible. But that doesn't seem to be happening. We're still getting exactly the same votes that we're getting 6 months ago when Parliament turned them down.
Yes, but her argument is that this is MP's last chance to vote to leave the European Union with a deal. And as we know, the previous votes indicated that there was a majority in the Commons against a no-deal Brexit.
Yeah, well, what is it about, no, we don't like your deal, that the poor lady doesn't get? It's a bit like a shopkeeper, Sean. A shopkeeper, you go in and you don't actually like any of the options that are available. So the shopkeeper says, you don't like, I'll have some of this. This has got a special offer. Have some of this. There's a guarantee that goes with this one. Have some of this. We've got a voucher for that one. And you think, no, 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 no. That's how Parliament has been reacting. And Parliament will react in exactly the same way with this forthcoming vote. It's not fair. It's a misuse of parliamentary time, and it's a misuse of government time and civil servant time. We should be getting on with this and then getting on with other things.
There are suggestions that because the reaction has been so bad to what she put out there yesterday, that there really is no point in allowing it to go to a vote, that she should pull the vote. Now, how do you see that playing out?
Well, that's also a possibility. In a way, it's an irrelevance, Sean. It really is, because the Conservatives and the government need new leadership. There's no argument about that anymore. We gave Mrs. May the best opportunity, and she's failed, and she's failed. And also, what really upsets me as a former MP is there was a cabinet meeting yesterday, 3.5 hour cabinet meeting. Within seconds, they're all on the phone telling the press exactly what happened. You know, there's no kind of cohesion, no unity. That means there's no decision-making process. Under this particular leader, nothing can be decided, in which case, I use the word paralysis, and that's an exact description. Here in Derbyshire, which was a Leave-voting county, we've got the European elections tomorrow, and the Derbyshire Conservatives officially decided they're not going to take part in it. And for the first time in my life, I think that's the right decision. I really do.
And what about your expectations? Who do you think is going to succeed her?
Well, that's the hardest question. That's where I think we all start to feel a little bit more optimistic. The key question is, who is going to take on Jeremy Corbyn? Because if Corbyn wins majority, or is the largest party and therefore is able to form a coalition, he wants to carry forward a Marxist programme, and that would involve nationalising everything in sight and using our public money not to run the health service better or to give tax breaks to ordinary working families, but to start nationalising things. That would be a disaster for the economy. We've been there before. We did that. We went through all of that in the 1960s and 1970s, which is why Margaret Thatcher got in. So we really, really don't want that to happen. And we have to look at who is the best person who can take the fight forward and can revive the spirit.
And
of
your
the party
preferences
in the country.
For?
Oh, I don't have a preference. I'm quite cynical about all this, I'm afraid. It's a question of who can do it best. The good guys are boring. And the interesting people are not good people in many ways. It's probably going to be Boris, I would think.
And do you consider him a good guy?
No, I don't. But he's a fine campaigner. He's a fine fighter. Oh, you know all about that in Ireland. You know, the people who are the best campaigners are often not the ones you would invite to have dinner with, but they may be the ones who are most effective when it really comes to it.
Edwina Curry, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Sammy Wilson, good morning to you.
Good morning.
This has been represented as perhaps the best offer the DUP could have got from Mrs. May, and yet it looks like you're not going to vote for it.
Not a good offer. It's an offer which has been recycled. It's been turned down before. It still gives the same flawed solution to Brexit, a solution which would cut Northern Ireland off from our main market in Great Britain, would have constitutional implications for Northern Ireland, and we'll not be accepting it.
But the whole point was, I thought, that the pledge was to seek another way to solve the backstop issue before December of 2020 deadline. And then point two of her plan, the promise that if the backstop were ever to come into effect, Northern Ireland would stay aligned with the rest of the UK on customs and regulations. What's not to like about that?
Well, two things. I mean, first of all, she can pledge all she wants. There are two parties to this. She'll have signed up at that stage to an internationally binding agreement, which the EU will be able to hold whatever government is of the day happens to be in place by 2022. And even if Mrs. May or her successor think that they have got an alternative, it'll be up to the EU to decide whether that alternative is acceptable. If not, the backstop will come into operation. Whether there's a legal guarantee in Britain or not, there'll be a nationally binding agreement which we will have to abide by. And that's why we say that the agreement itself has to be changed. That's the only guarantee that we have. Not having an agreement which requires Northern Ireland to be separated off from our main market in GB.
But what about the risk as well of losing Brexit altogether, which is something that your party says you want to see happening, you want to see Brexit happening, but also the prospect, Edwina Curry alluded to it there, ending up at a general election and Jeremy Corbyn becoming Prime Minister?
Well, I mean, let me take both of those points. First of all, the prospect of losing Brexit. We will only lose Brexit if the British government, whichever British government is in place, decides to give up on Brexit. And as far as a general election is concerned, we have no control over that. There'll be a general election at some stage anyway. And whether Jeremy Corbyn wins it or not will be up to the people of the United Kingdom. The one thing, and that's an uncertain thing, it may happen, it may not happen. The one thing we do know will happen that is if we sign up to this withdrawal agreement, then there will be a legally binding commitment on the United Kingdom to have Northern Ireland treated differently from the rest of the United Kingdom, to have us cut off from our main market, to have constitutional implications stemming from that. And we're not going to voluntarily sign up to that. And Mrs. May knows it. She's been told it often enough. But, you know, she seems to just ignore the warnings given to her.
As everybody knows, there's no majority in this Parliament for a no-deal Brexit. Now, let's say there is some form of Brexit attempted by Mrs. May's successor. But we heard the Taoiseach here, our Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, say at the weekend very clearly, the European Union will not agree to renegotiate the withdrawal agreement.
And if that's the case, it may well be that while there's no majority for a no-deal Brexit in the United Kingdom Parliament, we may finish up by default with a no-deal Brexit because the EU will make a decision that it's not prepared to renegotiate the withdrawal agreement, and the withdrawal agreement will not be accepted by the UK Parliament, and so in October we will leave.
And the consequences for Northern Ireland, for your constituents, for your farmers, for your businesses, you seem fairly relaxed about that.
Well, you know, I would prefer a deal, and I think that a deal is possible, and I think that the backstop arrangement is a nonsense, and the fact that your own government and the EU have said it's a nonsense, because in the case of a no deal, they wouldn't be having any border checks anyway. So I think that whoever succeeds Mrs. May, and it's inevitable now, has to go to the EU and to act tough instead of rolling over to them, as Mrs. May has done time and time again, and simply demand the same arrangements we put in place in the case of a deal as they were going to put in place in the case of a no deal.
Sammy Wilson, a DUP spokesperson on Brexit, thanks indeed for joining us. I'll be coming presently to Kevin Maguire of the Daily Mirror. But first of all, good morning to you, Hilary Benn, Chair of the Commons Brexit Committee.
Good morning.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. A lot of the analysis this morning seems to suggest that what Mrs. May had to say yesterday was too little too late. Had she laid out the kind of stall she set out yesterday, had she done that maybe 6 months ago, there might have been a chance of taking sufficient numbers of Tories and perhaps some members of your own party with her to get this deal over the line. But it seems that nothing she can do now. Is that how you would view things?
I think this bill is sunk before it's even launched. Because in the last 12, 16 hours, you've seen Conservative after Conservative who did vote for her deal last time saying, I'm really sorry, I can't vote for this. And on our side, look, on the central question of the Permanent Customs Union, which is the essential building block of a solution to the border problem between Northern Ireland and the Republic, a customs union, a permanent customs union, she said, well, we can remain in a customs arrangement until the next general election. Well, in the withdrawal agreement already is provision for the UK to remain in a customs union, and I think we'll still be in one come December 2022, which will be 6 months after we have to have an election, because there's no way the future relationship will be negotiated by December of next year. We'll have to, if it ever went through, we'd have to extend to December 2022. So, in effect, it's even less than what's already in the agreement. That's the first thing. And secondly, on a confirmatory referendum, we have already compromised. We've said to the Prime Minister, look, we don't like your deal, we voted against it. We're prepared to let it through, provided you back putting it to the British people so they can decide whether they want to leave with your deal or remain. And what the Prime Minister said yesterday was, you can have a vote. Well, thanks very much. We can have a vote any time we like. What we need from the Prime Minister is a commitment that she will back a confirmatory referendum with government support. If she did that, even at this late stage, then the bill would be in business. But she's not prepared to do that. And in those circumstances, as Jeremy Corbyn, Keir Starmer and others have made clear, Labour is not going to vote for this bill. And I wonder whether they'll even put it.
But you're asking her effectively to tear up the Tory manifesto from the last election. Not that particular document did them all out of favours on the vote, but she went as far as she could possibly get away with her own party or her own cabinet, and that itself is even a doubtful proposition by holding out the prospect of the Commons voting to have the referendum.
Well, in the end, you have to make a choice. I mean, this is the problem. Is the Prime Minister's been unwilling to make a lot of choices about Brexit because of the convulsed state of Tory party politics. I mean, the fundamental difficulty here is the Leave campaign promised you're going to have all your sovereignty back and you can keep all the economic benefits of being an EU member. It wasn't true then. The last 3 years have revealed that it isn't true now. And therefore, the Leavers have been confronted with some of the choices that have to be made about what we have to do if we were to leave the European Union, and they don't like it. So they're now taking refuge in a no-deal Brexit for which there is no mandate, because the Leave campaign never campaigned for a no-deal Brexit. They said, we will have a deal. And so we're faced with this impossible situation. And if Parliament is deadlocked, frankly, whether you're a Leaver or a Remainer, the only way to bring a conclusion to this, if Parliament can't, is to go back to the British people and say, here is what Leave looks like. This is the deal the Prime Minister has negotiated. There is no other negotiated deal. If you want to confirm your decision to leave, hope for that. But if you don't, or if you've changed your mind, then you can vote to remain. And since the Prime Minister wants to come back to Parliament for the fourth time in an attempt to persuade MPs to change our minds, and she says that's democratic, and I think she has the right to do so, even though it's probably unwise, tell me, why is it undemocratic 3 years later to go back to the British people and say, this is, you know, complex and difficult, we now know a bit more about the choices that Brexit actually involves, as opposed to the fantasy that was offered. Have you changed your mind or have you not? I have no idea whether the British people have changed their mind, but it seems to me it would be democratic to do that, and it would get us a decision. Because the final point is, we can't go on like this as a nation. We are damaging our economy just because we can't reach a decision and look at the problems that British Steel is facing.
Absolutely. It looks like it's going into not quite liquidation, but it's in a very, very precarious situation now. And there are all sorts of concerns as well about the car industry in the event of a no-deal Brexit. That may or may not concentrate minds. But what people perhaps are less clear about is, what, in the event of an election, Hilary Benn, what does your party actually campaign for? Because you've been very critical of Mrs May's withdrawal agreement. On the other hand, a lot of your constituents, a lot of your voters voted to leave. So what do you present the voters with?
I think we should say clearly that we are in favour of putting this choice back to the British people. Now, I'd love there to be a general election, but I don't think there is going to be one, because we tried with our vote of no confidence and we didn't succeed. With the Brexit Party taking quite a bit of support from the Tories, I can't see any Tory Prime Minister calling an election in the near future. And secondly, as Jeremy Corbyn has made very clear, if we're looking at either a no-deal Brexit or a Tory Brexit, then our conference policy and our commitment, and he said it again on the television on Sunday, he said we should put this to the people because it is the only way to resolve it. I think it's the democratic way to resolve it. And Parliament is deadlocked. And if you find one route blocked, it's no good continuing to sort of drive it in the hope that the blockage will fade away. You have to pick a different route. And of course it's politically difficult. It's difficult. All of these options are difficult for politicians. But going back to the people and saying, right, you will now make the final decision, that's why a growing number of MPs who, like me, I didn't campaign for a referendum for the last 2 years. I thought we should had an obligation to try and implement the result of the decision. But I've come reluctantly and belatedly to the conclusion this is a complete mess. We need to trust the people to decide which of these two routes are we going to take, given the position the country's in, because we cannot continue like this.
Hilary Benn, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Labour Party Chair of the Commons Brexit Committee. Kevin Maguire, good morning to you, Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror.
Yeah, good morning. What a mess.
We'll be talking later in the programme to a man who spent his whole working life practically unblocking the sewers of Dublin City. I'm just wondering how this situation in Westminster is going to be unblocked.
Yeah, if he fancies popping over to London and getting into Westminster, using his talents on Parliament. It's very difficult. In truth, Parliament is paralysed, and Theresa May possibly might not now put her bill to a fourth vote because Michael Gove, the Environment Secretary, knows it will fall, and it will fall heavily. We heard Sammy Wilson saying the DUP won't back it, but her big problem is the number of Conservative MPs who will vote against that is growing, not falling. People like Boris Johnson, who of course has his eye on the prize, fancies her job. He switched on the third vote. Now the fourth vote, he's going to go back to voting for it. It's divided in Britain, unquestionably. It's unleashing a lot of anger and poison, but there is no easy way forward. All the good options, all the simple options have gone. Hilary Benn, we heard the senior Labour MP making the case for another referendum. I think there is a sort of a slight majority for that, but a lot of other people feel they voted for Brexit 3 years ago, as Edwina Curry said, and they want it delivered. But to go back to the referendum, there was no clear view of what that Brexit would be.
And what about Hilary Benn's point there, where he says that he can't see any successor to Mrs May opting to have a general election in view of what he expects to happen tomorrow in the European Parliament re-elections?
No, that's right. The opinion polls suggest the Nigel Farage's Brexit Party, which is really a rerun of his old UKIP, looks like it's going to top it. And the Conservatives could be behind not only Labour, but the Liberal Democrats and Greens, and will win a handful of MEPs at most. They'll be in a very bad way. So would Turkey's vote for Christmas when the Conservatives would be punished?
But Mrs May's successor is going to have to take some sort of decision. I mean, what does he or she want to happen by the 31st of October? And if the Brexit Party's success is as strong as the polls suggest it will be, the temptation surely must be there for Boris Johnson or whoever to say, OK, let's run down the clock. We're not going to look for another extension. We're out on the 31st of October. No deal. That's it.
Yeah, I think the no-deal option is attractive as a rallying call to get votes and so on, until you have to face up to what it would mean in terms of trade, and erecting trade barriers with $650 billion worth of trade with 27 other countries, the whole question of Northern Ireland. When you're a prime minister, you have a bit more responsibility. So I think we'll hear a lot of talk like that, but I suspect whoever succeeds Theresa May will have to seek a further extension. They can possibly spend some political capital doing
on the,
that.
On the basis of what, though? Extend for what purpose?
Well, they will have to attempt to renegotiate. Now, of course, as you were quite rightly pointing out to Sammy Wilson, that the European Union has said the deal on the table is the deal. That is it. But I suspect whoever becomes a new prime minister will have to try in some way to renegotiate that, perhaps as Harold Wilson did in 1975 when he had a referendum and he got a few paper changes and then he had a referendum to stay in. But to get this through Parliament and accepted to the country, it'll have to look different, even if it's not of substance. And we've seen Parliament time after time vote out leaving with no deal. The whole question of revoking Article 50, possibly that second referendum Hilary Benn mentioned, will all have to be raised and discussed again. But it's tearing the Great Britain and the United Kingdom apart, this issue, and there is no clear way forward. It is a genuine political crisis now.
Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror, columnist with the New Statesman, thank you very much indeed.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.